The translation I'm reading from will be a little different from the King James, and I will give a little more explanation as I read it to make it clearer. So listen, starting at verse 13 of James chapter 5. Is anyone among you suffering hardship? Let him pray. Is anyone of good cheer? Let him sing praise. Is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save him that is sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, it shall be forgiven him. Confess, therefore, your sins one to another, and pray one for another, that you may be healed. The supplication of a righteous man availeth much in its working. Now let me go back and read it again and give you a little explanation. All right, look at verse 13. Is any among you, and the word is enduring, suffering, experiencing hard things. They translate it afflictions in the King James. In some versions, they just say, is anyone suffering? But it's not just the word for suffering. It's suffering hard things. Then let him pray. Is anyone of good cheer? And this word is an interesting word. It means of happy spirits. You've got a good disposition, a feeling of joy. Is anyone, it says, is anyone of good cheer, then let him sing. And the word is from the word psalm. And so some say let him sing psalms, and others let him sing praise. But psalms of praise are to be sung. Verse 14, is any among you sick? Now, I tell you this, the word that is translated sick is the word asthenao, which literally means, are you in a condition of weakness? Are you one who is without strength? That's the way it's translated in other areas. And so they just say, is any among you sick? But it's a sickness that has drained your strength and your health away from you. So these are the three things that are brought to our attention. Notice this, and this is what is so remarkable now. Three things. Is any among you suffering hardship? Is any of good cheer? Is any sick? Here are the people of God, those that are, as James says, of the 12 tribes, and among these, those that are believers in Christ. But among all these people, notice that there are three different existing conditions. Would it not be good if we could do away with the first and the third, and it could only be written about us, those that are of good cheer? But this is not true. Rejoice that there is good cheer among the people of God, but face reality and understand that there are those that suffer hardships and there are those that experience sicknesses. So think of these three things. Here we are tonight. Some of us may be of good cheer. I'm thinking especially of young people that are expecting great things tomorrow. They may be filled with excitement, and they would be filled with good cheer. And then there are others who perhaps have children that have disappointed them, those that have had financial reversals, those who have had heartbreaks. They would be among those that are suffering hardships. They are among the people of God. And then there are those that are sick. Some that are so sick that they're not able to be here. So is this not a remarkable thing that God has different lots in life for all of us? I remember a man once wanting to be saved, and he was wondering if he had been saved because his religious experience had not been identical with another religious experience that he thought was the way to be saved. So, there are many who are liable to think this. With all of these hardships that are coming into my life, it must be that I've sinned against God. It must be that in some way I've displeased Him, and therefore these hardships are coming. But that is not necessarily so. And two, it may be that if some are of good cheer, they may feel that the life that they're living is so pleasant to the Lord that, of course, they're filled with good cheer. What else could be expected? And then, there are some who are sick, and they would wonder about this sickness because they would ask the question, "What have I done, O God, to deserve this?" But just remember that if you are among the people of God, even among this small group, you'll have those that are suffering hardship, some that are of good cheer, and some that are sick. We can expect that. And if this is so, it's just like it says elsewhere. If any man be overtaken in a fault, in a sin, you who are spiritual, restore such a one. Among the people of God, there are those that fall into sin, and then there are those that God, by His grace, has sustained, and they are spiritual, and they are to go and help that brother that has fallen into sin. So as you look at the people of God, you are not going to see something that is absolutely the same everywhere. All Christians with sorrow, all Christians with gladness, all Christians with sickness, but you'll find a great variety among the people of God, and all of this is known to God, and this is the thing that causes us to marvel. Whatever emotional, physical experience you have in the world, you bring it into relationship with your God. You say, "How is that?" All right. Here is a person that is suffering hardship. What is he to do? He's to pray to his God. Here is a child of God who has good cheer. What is he to do? He's to sing praises to his God. And here is one that is sick and he needs healing. What is he to do? He is to call for the people of God. Do you grasp the significance of this? It doesn't make any difference what your experience in life is. It does not matter what the circumstances are. They all are to be brought into relation with God. So, if you have hardship, there is prayer. If you have joy, there is singing. And if you have sickness, there is the fellowship and the upholding of the people of God. So whatever condition your life is in, it is always to be brought in a proper relationship with God. You're liable to think that, well, certainly something is different. No. In whatever condition you are, the Apostle Paul said this, "I've learned in whatsoever state I'm in, therein to be content." So now as children of God, whatever your experience in life might be, whether it's bitter or whether it's sweet, we have to bring it in relationship with God. All right, let's talk about these one by one. It says, is anyone suffering hardship? I want you to see that this happens and where these hardships come from. Turn to Psalm 89. Turn to Psalm 89. Or make it Psalm 60. Psalm 60. and starting at verse 1. See if this reads the same in the King James as in mine. Psalm 60, verse 1. O God, thou hast cast us off. Thou hast broken us down. Thou hast been angry. O restore us again. Thou hast made the land to tremble. Thou hast rent it. Heal the breaches thereof, for it shaketh. Thou hast showed thy people hard things. Thou hast made us to drink the wine of staggering. Do you see? Does it say hard things in the King James as well? Thou hast showed thy people hard things? All right. This is the significance of the word in James chapter 5. It says, is any among you suffering hard things? And notice, here are hard things, and what is the person that is experiencing the hard things doing? He's praying. Look at verse 3. Thou hast showed thy people hard things. Thou hast made us to drink the wine of staggering. So when the hard things come, the one whose heart is in a right condition with the Father does not look around and away, but he looks to God and understands that he is the author of all that comes into our life. We take it by faith, but we've seen it in the examples of the Old Testament saints. Here is Job. And Job is having one hard thing after another to come into his life. And who is showing him those hard things? You say, why, it's Satan. Yes. But before Satan could show those hard things to Job, he had to get permission from God. So this is a consolation, whereas at times it is confusing that a God who tells us he loves us, that a God who has Satan under his control, would allow Satan to come and bring hard things into our lives. But we've seen that it's so. For that reason, God is he who has sent hard things into our lives. But what are we to do? We are to do what every true child of God by nature will do. Because when the suffering and the hardship and the depression and the pain become so great, we will lift our eyes to heaven and we will pray to God. When someone is experiencing hard things, hardships, afflictions, it says, let him pray. The exhortation is given because not everyone does pray. At times, they blame God. At times, they blame the brothers and sisters in Christ. But it says, if you are suffering hardship, let him pray. And I want you to see this. Turn to Psalm 22. I want you to see an example of one who is suffering hardship, and let's see what he's doing. Psalm 22. In this psalm, our Savior is experiencing a hardship that he's never experienced before. And thank God, it is only one time that he shall experience this. He's already experienced previous hardships. When Judas Iscariot betrayed him, he said, yea, my own familiar friend, he that eateth my food has lifted up his heel against me. All his disciples forsook him and fled. These are hardships that have come into Christ's life. But now on the cross, let's read what it says. Psalm 22, verse 1, my God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou answerest not, and in the night season, and am not silent, but thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted, and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee, and were delivered. They trusted in thee, and were not put to shame. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of all the people. All they that see me laugh, make a scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, commit thyself unto the Lord. Let him deliver him. Let him rescue him, seeing he delighteth in him. But Maricopa took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me trust when I was upon my mother's breast. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Now, I just read those words for this reason. The Lord Jesus is experiencing hard things that no one else ever experienced. And what is he doing? You say he is praying to his God about it. And that's what we're to do. Do you not understand that he is telling God all the things that are happening? He's explaining how he feels. He is explaining how other people treat him. And so he is not letting all this build up in him and causing him to be angry and overcome, but he is pouring out his heart to God. And this is what our Lord wants us to do when hard things come into our lives. You say, well, what good does it do? It's like this. I will tell you about the other example of someone who was experiencing hard things. The Apostle Paul, in 2 Corinthians 12, had received a thorn in the flesh, and he said that he had prayed to God 3 times about this. Why? He was suffering this thorn in the flesh, but he was praying to God. He was suffering hardship, and he was praying to God. And before God spoke to him, God was sustaining him. And finally, the 3rd time, God did speak to him and told him that his grace was sufficient. So this is why we are to pray to God. It's the only way to endure hardship, is to pray. This is what God would have us to understand. So if hard things, if depression, if reversals, if pain, if sorrow of heart, if any of these hard things are coming into our lives, let us take all these things into the presence of God and tell our Father. It says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Do not let that care and those burdens remain upon you and in you, but in your prayer, tell them to God. This is the exhortation for those that are suffering afflictions and hardships. God does not tell us, as I showed you in previous weeks, that he will remove these hardships from us. But he will tell us, my grace is sufficient for thee. And praying to God will make that burden that is unbearable, bearable, and somehow that care will not be such as overcomes us and causes us to faint and give up. So if any of us are suffering hardship, let us pray. The solution, when hard things come into our lives, let us pray. And it says, let us keep on praying. Not just one prayer, but let us keep on praying. Why? Because those hardships may remain. All right. The 2nd thing is this. Here is someone who has an entirely different experience. Instead of a fallen countenance and a heavy heart, here is one that has a merry heart and an uplifted countenance. Why? Because he is of good cheer. What is so remarkable is that there is a danger if your life is one of cheerfulness and happiness and one that is carefree. Why? Because at times when all of these things, the pressures of life and the things that make you weep are taken away, at times you're filled with levity and you will do things that you would not if life caused you to be serious, and you're liable to get into mischief. You're liable to say things that you should not say. You're liable to do things because you are happy and others are not in that condition. You say, how is that? I remember that Peter Pell, he was an old brother in Christ that I preached with years ago, and he said that at times in his life, when he was cheerful, words like this, he said he started saying things and doing things and thinking things that he should not be thinking, and he had to be drawn up short because he had a merry heart, he was of good cheer. And so many times when we are merry and do not have a care in the world, we are liable to take chances that we would not under certain circumstances. We are liable to say that God is with me now, why nothing can harm me. We are liable to think, and this is what happens, if we say that we have no sin. Do you see? Now I'm happy because I've overcome the temptations of the day. I'm living a victorious life, and therefore I can let down my guard, and Satan can do nothing to me. And all of the ordinary temptations of life, they have no power against me. And that is the very thing that James is warning us about. If we were of good cheer, what are we to do? It says, we are to sing praises and psalms and thanksgiving unto God. That is what we are to do. I remember that Peter Pell's father practiced this very thing. He told me, and this was so many years ago, that his old father was in the hospital, and he would wake up early in the morning, and when he did, he would start singing hymns and praises to God. And all the other patients in his room and down the hall that could hear him, they said, shut up that old man from singing all of these praises. And Peter Pell went around and told them, he said, I'll shut my father up if he will shut up these bawdy songs that you're singing, all of the blasphemous speech that is issuing from your lips. I will do this for my father if you promise that you'll do that for me. And then what did they have to say? And so here was one who was practicing that. And what is so remarkable is that there are some who, not when they are of good cheer, but some when they are suffering, can also sing unto God. Do you remember Paul and Silas? Why, it should be easy to sing praises and psalms to God if we are of good cheer. But I'm wondering, if I'm in prison and I've been lashed, if I've been beaten, I wonder if that's possible. So certainly, if those that are in the condition of Paul and Silas can sing, then those that are of good cheer can sing praises unto God. As we sing praises, let us do as the psalmists do. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is in me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Do you see? And so what are you doing? I'm speaking these things, and yet you can put these thoughts to song. You can put it and make a tune out of it and sing praises to God. And I even heard of a man in a secular job that I have no assurance that he knows Christ as Savior, but he said that if he went through life, if he were feeling depressed, he would sing this song that he learned in Sunday school. I'm so happy, and here is the reason why. Jesus took my burdens all away. Isn't that remarkable? So this is what a man that is in a high position in the world, that is what he did when those feelings came upon him. And so that is what we are to do. Let us do those that sing praises. Because I told you that if you go around with a depressed, sorrowful look, people will see it, and it's contagious. I told you how I was almost cured at one time. I went in, having filled up my gas tank, and I said to a young lady that was the attendant, $15. And she looked at me and she said, why don't you smile? Now, why would she say that to me? And then the thought came to me, why, it's against the law. And suddenly her face fell and she said, well, maybe it is. But as soon as I got out, I thought about the situation. I said, what kind of look and what is this that I'm conveying to other people? And I started laughing and laughing. And it may be that her face had fallen and she would be sad for the rest of the day, but at least my spirit had been lifted. And I'm wondering if the world looks at you and they see you singing and you have a merry heart and you're of good cheer, they will want to know why. And it may be a good opportunity for you to witness to those individuals, because I assure you, if we go around depressed and sorrowful, as the Lord Jesus said, when people were fasting and they have a long face and they want people to know that they're suffering for God, when you have that disposition and people look at you, they want nothing to do with Christianity. But if they see that you can go through life, this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith, and that you can pray to God when you are suffering affliction and hardships, and you can sing to God because there is such a thing as good cheer in being a child of God, then the world will sit up and take notice. And remember, we are doing just what God told us to do. One other thing. It makes a distinction between suffering affliction and hard things when it says, is any among you sick? So, the sickness here is a sickness that is characterized by weakness, by your strength being taken away. This is the way it's found in John chapter 5. It said that our Savior was in Jerusalem, and there was Solomon's pool, and around this pool, it was filled with people that were sick. They were infirm, they were crippled, they had every imaginable disease. And the Lord Jesus went and spoke to one, and it said, he spoke to the impotent man. And the one that is impotent means that his strength is gone. And he had so little strength that when the pool was stirred up, if he could get in that pool first, he would be healed. And the Lord Jesus said to him, to the impotent man, he said, did you be healed? He said, sir, he said, I have no man to put me into the pool when it stirred up, that I might be healed. And so that is the thought of sickness. And at times in your life, if you have been sick, at times you're vigorous and strong, and then you do not feel capable of getting out of the bed. This is what sickness does to some of us. And it says, if any of you are sick, here is something that is to be done if there seems to be no remedy. It says, let him call for the elders of the church. All right. This tells us two things. It tells us that this man has been brought to his senses, and he understands that there was no physician that can do anything for him, and he understands that his own prayers have failed. And so what he does is to call for the elders of the church, and he wants them to come and to pray for him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. I wonder if you are prepared to do that. I wonder, and yet some would say this, I told a dear brother this once, I said, yes, I think this is what we should do when all else has failed. He said, this is what you're supposed to do at the very first. But I would wonder about that. If I have a cold, I'm going to rest and take what medicine I can, and usually in about 2 weeks, things go away. But then, if you have a sickness that cannot be diagnosed by the doctors, and no matter what you do, it can't be cured, then what you do is what so many have done. You understand that you need the help of your brothers and sisters in Christ, and especially those that are over you in the Lord. It says three times in Hebrews 13, it speaks about those that are over you in the Lord, and listen to what it says. They watch in behalf of your soul. So if the time comes when you are down and you cannot seem to get well no matter what happens, then at least by that time, you are to call for the elders of the church. You are at the end of your own resources, and you need others to come and give you assistance. But it means this. Suppose you go to a church, a meeting, and in that church, those that are recognized as elders, you have no respect for them, and you have no confidence in them. Are you going to send for them? You say it would be foolish, but then it may be for the first time you realize that as imperfect as they're the ones you're to call for, and they're better than you are, and God has told you, and with their imperfections, call them and let them do what God tells you should be done. And what are they to do? It is this. It said, first of all, that if the man is sick, the elders do not go to him, but the desire is to originate in the heart of the man who is sick. Remember that. It has to be a personal appeal to the elders. Now, it's not to all the Christians. We say to all the Christians, pray for us. But this is a special time, a special occasion of prayer. And what they do is to come to him where he is in his sickness. It looks as if he's not able to get out or do anything. And it says they are to pray for him. And they anoint him with, and it says, olive oil in the name of the Lord. And it says, the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And that word save means heal. It cures the sick. And if he has committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. What does it mean? It means that these elders have a special power with God, and if God enables them to pray the prayer of faith, then God will bless that symbolical anointing you with oil, and God will raise you up. It does not say the oil will do it. It does not say that the personal goodness of the elders shall do it, but it says the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And so I could be praying, oh God, let them have faith that God is going to raise me up. And I've heard of this thing being done. And at times, the elders have gone out, and they prayed for the man, and they anointed the man, but afterward they confessed to one another. Do you know that when I was praying for him, I had no assurance in my heart that God was going to do anything for him. I just had no assurance. And that was the same feeling of the other elders as well. And so they did not pray that prayer of faith. But it may very well be as the Lord Jesus. When he went, he had that faith and the assurance, this man is to be raised up. But at least you know this, that if the elders come and pray, and then afterwards you ask them, did you feel in your heart that God was going to answer your prayer? And if they honestly told you no, then you could say, then evidently it's time for me to leave this world and go to be with my Father. But then it may very well be that the brethren, the elders say to one another, my heart was filled with hope and the assurance that God was going to raise that man up. And then God would raise that man up. So here is something that was valid in the days of James, and I take it as being valid today. So, whatever your problem is, whether it's hard, or whether it's joy, or whether it's sickness, it's to be brought into relationship with God. And there is personal prayer. You see, are you suffering hardship? You pray. Are you of good cheer? You praise. But then if you're sick, and there seems to be no remedy, then let God's people pray. Let the elders come and pray. So whatever you experience, whatever the situation, whatever the conditions are, bring them into relationship with God. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you that you are never to get out of our sight, whether in sickness or health, whether in joy or sorrow, whatever comes into our lives, Father, hard things or good things. We are glad that we can pray to thee, our God, and pour out our hearts if they're filled with sorrow, and we can call to others if we have not success in ourselves to pray for us. And our God, when you fill us with good cheer, we can sing songs of praise unto thee. So help us to be the men and women of God that we should. Let us not be discouraged. Let us see that you have a counsel for every condition of life, and let us know what that counsel is, and let us follow it. So our God, let us love thee and serve thee, and let us walk with thee through life, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen.